He told me his name earlier, but it flew out of my head. Police officers should wear bright red name tags. How else are you possibly supposed to remember their names in a high-stress situation? He's a detective, I think.
When did you find the body?
I pause, wondering if this would be the right time to demand a lawyer. Aren't they supposed to offer me one? I'm rusty on this protocol. About an hour ago, I answer.
Why did you go up there in the first place?
I press my lips together. I told you, I heard a sound.
And?
The officer leans forward, his eyes wide. He has a rough stubble on his chin, like he might have skipped shaving this morning. His tongue protrudes slightly from between his lips. I'm not stupid. I know exactly what he wants me to say. I did it. I'm guilty. Take me away.
Instead, I lean back against the sofa.
That's it. That's everything I know.
Disappointment washes over the detective's face. He works his jaw as he thinks over the evidence that has been found so far in this house. He's wondering if he's got enough to snap those cuffs on my wrists yet.
He isn't sure. If he were sure, he would have done it already.
Hey, Connors!
It's the voice of another officer. We break eye contact and I look up at the top of the staircase. The other, much younger cop is standing there, his long fingers clutching the top of the banister. His unlined face is pale.
Connors, the younger officer says, you gotta come up here. Now. You gotta see what's up here.
Even from the bottom of the stairs, I can see his Adam's apple bobbing.
You won't believe it.
Part 1. 3 months earlier.
Chapter 1. Millie.
Tell me about yourself, Millie.
Nina Winchester leans forward on her caramel-colored leather sofa, her legs crossed to reveal just the slightest hint of her knees peeking out under her silky white skirt. I don't know much about labels, but it's obvious everything Nina Winchester is wearing is painfully expensive. Her cream blouse makes me long to reach out to feel the material, even though a move like that would mean I'd have no chance of getting hired. To be fair, I have no chance of getting hired anyway.
Well,
I begin, choosing my words carefully. Even after all the rejections, I still try. I grew up in Brooklyn. I've had a lot of jobs doing housework for people, as you can see from my resume. My carefully doctored resume. And I love children. And also, I glance around the room, looking for a doggy chew toy or a cat litter box. I love pets as well. The online ad for the housekeeper job didn't mention pets, but better to be safe. Who doesn't appreciate an animal lover?
Brooklyn! Mrs. Winchester beams at me. I grew up in Brooklyn, too. We're practically neighbors.
We are, I confirm, even though nothing could be further from the truth. There are plenty of coveted neighborhoods in Brooklyn where you'll fork over an arm and a leg for a tiny townhouse. That's not where I grew up. Nina Winchester and I couldn't be more different. But if she'd like to believe we're neighbors, then I'm only too happy to go along with it. Mrs. Winchester tucks a strand of shiny golden blonde hair behind her ear. Her hair is chin length, cut into a fashionable bob that de-emphasizes her double chin. She's in her late 30s, and with a different hairstyle and different clothing, she would be very ordinary looking. But she's used her considerable wealth to make the most of what she's got. I can't say I don't respect that. I've gone the exact opposite direction with my appearance. I may be over 10 years younger than the woman sitting across from me, but I don't want her to feel at all threatened by me. So for my interview, I selected a long, chunky wool skirt that I bought at the thrift store and a polyester white blouse with puffy sleeves. My dirty blonde hair is pulled back into a severe bun behind my head.